Now we're getting to the bottom of everything.
It's time for Mother Angelica.
I mean, that's awesome.
Answering the call.
Answering the call.
This world is no place for Catholic chickens.
Answering the call.
You call that a failure? I call it a great success.
Here's Father Joseph and Doug Keck.
It's time once again for Mother Angelica Answering the Call. It's the weekly radio program that highlights mothers' spiritual insights and compassion when dealing with questions that troubled the callers to her live show over the 1980s and 1990s. I'm Doug Keck, joined as always by my co-host, EWTN Chaplain Father Joseph Merriwell. Great to be with you again, Father.
And with you, Doug, and this time we're going to be looking at a lot of troubled marriages, which, of course, we know is sadly a situation in the world today. And yet, Mother gives a good compass point, right, for these people in these situations to follow.
Right. Unfortunately, things are probably worse today than they were even at the time when she was responding to these questions. First one is going to be letting go of ill will. That's always tough. Mother prays for a difficult situation. Obviously, breaks up some marriages and things are always tough. Marriage is a serious thing. Another thing that I think we need to think of, and also trying to work things out. But let's talk about the first one being letting go of ill will. That's a pretty tough thing for us to do when we feel like we've been wounded or offended, right?
But Mother makes the important point that if we don't, our soul shrivels up. And she says, I don't want to jeopardize my kingdom for some goofball, right? As only Mother could say, that someone else may have made a terrible, horrible mistake, as this situation brings up. And yet, we can't let that destroy our own love of the Lord, our own union with the Lord. And so, like Jesus, and we learn from Jesus how to forgive, even when we're being, so to speak, crucified by the event.
Right, and we're talking about someone who betrayed his wife in adultery, and he didn't have an affair. He was an adulterer. We don't like to say those things today anymore. Also, Mother makes the point that you can only really obtain peace and keep peace in your heart is when you forgive, as hard as that is, right?
I like the saying that resentment is a poison we drink hoping to hurt or kill the other person. We're drinking the poison. It's poisoning us, this resentment that we continue to stew over again. And she says you need to love your husband. What does that mean? To wish him well. What does that mean? Not that he just be happy in his situation, but that he change,
right,
his heart change and be converted.
Absolutely. Letting go of ill will, very important.
We have a call. Hello?
Hello.
Where are you from?
Ohio, Mother.
Wonderful.
And I really enjoy your program.
Thank you.
You're a lifesaver. I know it's hard. You know, I was married 37 years, and my husband had a girlfriend and committed adultery, and I got a divorce. And we have three sons, but I can't forgive him. I try and pray, and I go to communion, but I can't forgive him. But yet, I wished him really were bad things to happen to him. And then when I do that, like today I saw a woman that I knew that had a stroke, and I thought I would never wish that on anybody. And I felt so terrible for wishing such bad things to happen to him. But you know what? Now I'm 65, going to be 65, and he wants to cut my alimony, and I have no, you know, where can I go to get a job or anything at this age? After I've been taking care of my family all these years.
Right, why don't we all say a prayer for her, huh? For the pain in her heart, inflicted by someone so unjustly. Lord Jesus, I ask that you give this woman the grace to forgive. It's so hard. But during your crucifixion, Lord, you looked down with all that unbelievable agony, pain, and you said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. And, you know, your sons ought to help you in this. You and your sons. Don't worry about how you feel about it. It'd be nice if you and your sons could get together sometime and you say, let's pray for your dad. And let's pray for ourselves that we don't live and die in hatred. See, that's why you're crying. That's why you're so miserable. It's also because the injustice and the hurt. But there's something happens to the soul inside. It begins to shrivel up. Why do you? You're 65. You know, I'm 69, and I don't want to jeopardize my kingdom for some goofball. You know, you feel sorry for your husband, and you want to pray for him, but if you keep getting this anger and you wish him evil, see, it says, I got to wish him well. Wish him well meaning that you wish that he will save his soul. You can't wish he has a good time with his new wife or mistress. That isn't wishing him well. That's wishing him evil. But you have to say, Lord, forgive him. I forgive him. Help me to forgive him more. And I wish that the light enters his heart, and before he dies, before he enters the kingdom, he will understand. That's what's so important. And I think as you did that as a family, I don't know if you're Catholic or not, but I would say that rosary, I would trust in the Lord. And you know, my mother did that for a long time. It was a hard, hard time for her to forgive my father. Hard time. And I don't think she really forgave him until a couple of weeks before she died. There was always inside that anger. And she was so unhappy. Don't do that. You can have peace in your heart if you forgive. See, and the fact that it's unjust makes the forgiveness more heroic, makes it more like Jesus. Look what he suffered for love of you. You have to forgive. Our dear Lord says here, to the man who slapped you on the cheek, present the other cheek. Oh, that's hard. To the man who takes your cloak from you, give him your tunic. See, there's that total release, abandonment of ourselves to God. Is it easy? No, it's not easy. And the only way you can really obtain peace and keep peace in your heart is to forgive. This is the formula. Love your husband. What does that mean? Wish him well. What does well mean for him? That he understands the evil he has done, and that his soul may very well be in jeopardy. Then it says, do him good, pray for him. See, don't run around wishing him to have a stroke and wishing him this. What good is that going to do you? Huh? Is that like Jesus? No. Is that like the Father who forgives you over and over and over? You know what else it says here? The Lord said, this is Luke 6:26. Treat others as you would like them to treat you. See?
And moving on, Father, we've got another tough call. This one as Mother prays for someone who's in a difficult situation, again, marriage-wise.
You know, I thought I'd bring something positive into this. You know, recently there was in the news in Shreveport, Louisiana, this school, Southwood High School, where they were having all of these fights and all these things that were going on. And the dads decided, we got to do something. So they founded this group called Dads on Duty, and they actually are there at the school, and they're greeting the students. They're giving them the eye, as one of the students said, if we're a little bit out of order. And what an impact. They haven't had any of these situations since then. So how much dads can contribute, you know, to the welfare of their families. And we pray that this dad, too, will come to understand that.
Right, and I think to play off what you just said, in a sense, it's that balance. You've got the love and mercy from mom, but mm-hmm. dad is the enforcer at some level, at least the threat of being somebody who can physically intervene mm-hmm. and say, no, you can't do that. And what we've seen, and I think in raising children, mm-hmm. why you need a father and a mother, because it takes both sides of that.
It really does. We want that unconditional love and that embrace that our mother is ready to give, but we also need that direction and guidance and boundaries. You know, I think a lot of young people today are just starving for some guidance, some boundaries, because they're living a dissipated life that doesn't lead anywhere.
Right, and especially a lot of young men need that. They need mm-hmm. that from a father. And also the idea, like you said, boundaries mean you care.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of young people who with no boundaries come to believe no one cares about me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just that I'm concerned about you directing yourself towards your good. Not just anywhere and anything that's pleasing in the moment, but what is truly for your good. That's what I want for you when I love you.
Very good. Let's see, as Mother takes on prayers for difficult situations, like divorce.
We have another call. Hello?
Hello, Mother Angelica?
Yeah, where are you from?
I'm from Ohio.
Oh, good. And what is your question?
Mother, I'm a new convert of the church. My daughter is 19 and moved in with her boyfriend, and I told her how I felt about that.
Right.
With her not being Catholic, she doesn't quite understand, but she knows I didn't approve of it, and now she's pregnant. They were going to get married next July, and since she's become pregnant, his family is wanting them to get married, and she doesn't want to get married because the old saying that she had to get married. And I would like your advice on how do I go about advising her. I know that it was one mistake for her to move in with this young man. Is it another mistake to marry him because she's pregnant? I don't want to put her in spot of, in a marriage that's not going to work out.
Well, you see, that's once we disobey the Lord, it just keeps going down, down, down. Right now, she has to be very concerned about her baby. And I take it she's keeping it, and I thank God for that. And I think you need to thank God and thank her for keeping that baby. I would wait to see if they really love each other. It's a very difficult thing to say, get married. You got to find out, are they really for each other? And you need counseling. You need to go to a priest and ask, get a good priest who will tell you the truth, please. Don't go to anyone that's going to tell you what you want to hear. I think that's unfair. And you're not kidding God, so why are you even thinking about it? What you need to do is to concentrate now on the baby. It's there. She needs time to pray, to be forgiven by the Lord. He needs time to take on responsibility. And they got to be sure. This was not just a pleasure thing. That they really want to live with each other forever and ever and ever. Not just to give them baby a name. Be sure. You need some counseling from someone who knows you, knows your daughter, and knows this boy. As you said, two mistakes, two wrongs don't make a right. It may be right. Didn't start out that way. So you have to wonder if they have the maturity and the common sense to get married. You know, a couple may want to get married, but you got to go through all kinds of things today in the church. Why? Because the church is a mother. And she wants to be sure you know what you're getting into, that these people are compatible, and they're going to stay married. You see? Now, you say, well, if she doesn't marry, doesn't she have to move out? Yeah, I would think they would catch on by now. What do you need? A ton of bricks to fall on you? She must leave him now. You can't be living together and having babies. Well, I would think, no. Yeah, marriage is a very serious thing. This idea that, well, I'm not going to get married. How do I know I'm going to be happy with this guy so I live with him? You give your body, you give your soul up, you give everything that God has given you to be beautiful, you make it ugly, and then you say, well, we might as well stay this way. No, she's got to leave. She's got to leave and be alone and bear that baby with loving care. Then you can think of something else. But she can't continue living like that. She commits one sin after another. And what can you do about it? You could advise her. Support her with love, but not condone what she's doing. That's the problem. And that's such a fine line, isn't it? Huh? But we can be firm with love. I would plead with her to move out. And if she doesn't, I'd pray very hard for both of them.
There's more Mother Angelica answering the call on EWTN Radio. Let's return to Mother Angelica
answering the call
with Father Joseph and Doug Kecht on EWTN Radio.
And thank you so much for staying with us for part two of Mother Angelica Answering the Call. I'm Doug Keck, here with Father Joseph Mary Wolfe. And this topic, again, a serious one. In fact, that's the name of it. Marriage is a serious thing, Father.
Yes, and that pregnancy is a serious thing. So this couple was living out of wedlock. And at least formally, I don't know so much today, that there was pressure sometimes where you need to get married before the baby is born. Mm-hmm. That's never a good idea. You know, these are two separate situations. So as Mother brings out here, you need to love that child and welcome that child and do all that you can for the good of that child. But then the other issue is then be prepared, well prepared for marriage. And there's obviously some immaturity if this has already happened.
Right, exactly. And certainly what you're suggesting is that no shotgun marriages these days are a good idea. And the couple may find themselves, you know, there might be a couple who was thinking of getting married and it follows itself through, but it may also be the kind of situation where you don't have that. And that's the problem when people are living this lifestyle, which is, it's not even a lifestyle of an exaggerated sexuality of the 60s. It's just virtually the norm now.
Yeah, we have to be free to marry, too, when we make that choice to marry. So there can't be any pressure, such as a pregnancy or anything else. And yeah, we have to see marriage for what it is. It is a serious thing. It's a commitment to the other person. And that's really what enables children to thrive. You know, God loves marriage, and he loves his plan for human sexuality because he loves children. And he wants an environment where they're going to flourish.
Right. And even let's think in terms of our Lord, the Holy Family. There was a father and a mother, and that's how it's supposed to be. That's the model for us, and it's important for us, as you were alluding to, and as Mother talks about, why it's important that you take it seriously, why the church takes it seriously, why the church makes you go through certain hoops in marriage preparation.
And we'd have to say also that there are a lot of people that never knew that in their own family and growing up. Well, God fills in the gaps, and that's where we turn to God. Fill in the gap. Let Joseph help me to be a better father or mother, and so on.
Exactly. After all, marriage is a serious thing.
We have another call. Hello?
Hello, Mother Angelica.
Yeah, where are you from?
I'm from Ohio.
Oh, good. And what is your question?
Mother, I'm a new convert of the church. My daughter is 19 and moved in with her boyfriend, and I told her how I felt about that.
Right.
With her not being Catholic, she doesn't quite understand, but she knows I didn't approve of it, and now she's pregnant. They were going to get married next July, and since she's become pregnant, his family is wanting them to get married, and she doesn't want to get married because the old saying that she had to get married. I would like your advice on how do I go about advising her. I know that it was one mistake for her to move in with this young man. Is it another mistake to marry him because she's pregnant? I don't want to put her in spot of, in a marriage that's not going to work out.
Well, you see, that's once we disobey the Lord, it just keeps going down, down, down. Right now, she has to be very concerned about her baby. And I take it, she's keeping it. And I thank God for that. And I think you need to thank God and thank her for keeping that baby. I would wait to see if they really love each other. It's a very difficult thing to say, get married. You got to find out, are they really for each other? And you need counseling. You need to go to a priest and ask it. Get a good priest who will tell you the truth, please. Don't go to anyone that's going to tell you what you want to hear. I think that's unfair. And you're not kidding God, so why are you even thinking about it? What you need to do is to concentrate now on the baby. It's there. She needs time to pray, to be forgiven by the Lord. He needs time to take on responsibility. And they got to be sure that this was not just a pleasure thing, that they really want to live with each other forever and ever and ever. Not just to give the baby a name. Be sure. You need some counseling from someone who knows you, knows your daughter, and knows this boy. As you said, two mistakes, two wrongs don't make a right. It may be right. Didn't start out that way. So you have to wonder if they have the maturity and the common sense to get married. You know, a couple may want to get married, but you got to go through all kinds of things today in the church. Why? Because the church is a mother. And she wants to be sure you know what you're getting into, that these people are compatible, and they're going to stay married. You see? You say, well, if she doesn't marry, doesn't she have to move out? Yeah, I would think they would catch on by now. What do you need? A ton of bricks to fall on you? Yeah, marriage is a very serious thing. This idea that, well, I'm not going to get married. How do I know I'm going to be happy with this guy so I live with him? You give your body, you give your soul up, you give everything that God has given you to be beautiful, you make it ugly, and then you say, well, we might as well stay this way. No, she's got to leave. She's got to leave and be alone and bear that baby with loving care. Then you can think of something else. But she can't continue living like that. She commits one sin after another. And what can you do about it? You could advise her. Support her with love, but not condone what she's doing. That's the problem. And that's such a fine line, isn't it? Huh? But we can be firm with love. I would plead with her to move out. And if she doesn't, I'd pray very hard for both of them.
And closing things out on the program, Father, we've got a man who's trying to work things out, maybe a different angle this time.
Yes, it's important, as Mother brings out here. We like instant solutions, but that's not how God operates normally. He asks us to be patient, to pray, to trust, to go forward, and sometimes we have to wait. The Psalms even speak of that. I waited for the Lord, and he stooped to me. He heard my cry for help, but first, I waited. And sometimes that's part of it, you know, that we let God work in his time, his perfect timing.
But you would think today it's even worse. I mean, again, even than the time when Mother would have answered this. I mean, nobody, everything is, we used to have commercials that ran a minute. Now we have commercials that run 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything is immediate, immediate, immediate.
Immediate, immediate. Well, God's teaching us a different lesson, right? And so we can't relate to persons in that way. Maybe the media can operate that way, and we try not to. Of course, we have a richer message to portray than just some flashy thing. But God doesn't operate that way. As persons, we listen, we talk, and we go to God as our Father, and we trust Him.
Well said. Let's see what Mother actually had to say, trying to work things out.
We have another caller. Hello?
Yes, I have a question. I've been going through divorce now for almost a year.
Yeah.
And every day I pray to the Lord, I go to church, I read the Bible every morning, and I ask just to give us a chance to work things out.
Yeah.
Nothing seems to work. Nothing happens.
Yeah.
I just don't know what else to do.
Well, I think sometimes you have to give it time. The important thing is what you're doing. You're forgiving, you're praying, you're asking for reconciliation. That's everything it says here to do. That's what's important. If she does not respond or correspond, that's something beyond your power. But try. Maybe a priest could go to see her, or a good friend. Maybe you could call her and just ask her to take her out to dinner or something. But what you're doing is exactly right. Just keep doing it. Make every effort. But be at peace as you make the effort. When you die, you will have to answer to the Lord for what you're doing, and you're doing the right thing. Sometimes you can get kind of in despair almost, but don't do that. You know, everything takes time. Everything takes time. And don't be patient. And be at peace. If I release something to God, don't take it back. Give it to Him. Give it. You just can't give and take, take and take it back, give and take it back, give and bring it. You can't do that. If I give something to the Lord, a hurt, a problem, a past sin, if I give it, why keep taking it back? You're doing the right thing. Give it to the Lord and be at peace.
For more about Mother Angelica and to listen to her shows, go to EWTN.com. See you next time on Mother Angelica, Answering the Call, only on EWTN Radio.